matter what people say, we got it going on. Who cares about what they did?
You know me, I'm the hottest in this.
WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip hop beats to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these corona-infested streets. But now I feel like I gotta say in these winter wonderland streets. Last week was crazy, and my thoughts and prayers go out to those living in Texas and other parts of the South that have been affected by the deep freeze that happened and the aftermath, really. I mean, hundreds and thousands of people were out of power, out of running water. And even at this very moment, I believe that there are still some residents that are still without power and running water. Like, it's crazy to me that in 2021, disaster relief preparedness, emergency preparedness is still not a thing. Like, how many more disasters do we need to endure in the United States to make emergency preparedness a priority in this country? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. But yeah, I know I have friends who are in Texas, friends who are in Louisiana who are going through it. And, you know, so I've been in communications with them, and it's not pretty. It's kind of crazy down there. So, I'm seeing that the government is trying to do a little something. It looks like they're going to be declaring it a disaster. So hopefully, there'll be appropriate funds allocated to rebuilding and restoring what's going on down there. But really, really sad times. So I definitely want to just shout them out, let you all know who are listening from the South, to, keep your head up. It's Black History Month. the celebration continues, even though we're going through some crap right now. I think that going through a year of corona definitely has prepared many of us for anything. I feel like I can tackle anything at this point after going through this year of the Rona. But nonetheless, definitely acknowledge the pain and suffering that's currently going on right now, especially with our people who are living in the South, right? Our Black people who are going through it right now. So thoughts and prayers to you all. Speaking of Black History Month, it's the 22nd day. I didn't really give many fun facts this Black History Month, I realize. But since the platform is everything Black anyways, I feel like every day is Black History for us, right? As a Black person, every single day should be Black History. The month is important because it does allow us to highlight, educate, showcase. But at the end of the day, as Black people, 365 days a year is Black History. So we should take the opportunity to engage and educate ourselves on a daily basis, not just during Black History Month. I'm going to take this moment to make a shameless but not shameless plug. I'm going to invite all of you to follow Black Ivy Media. It's a company that I started about a year ago, but it's been in the making for, like, I don't know, the last almost 10 years, maybe about 8 years now. And we really are trying to change the narrative about Black people, and not just Black people in this country, but Black people across the globe, the Black diaspora. In order for us to move forward, we need to be able to dispel myths. We need to be able to properly highlight the victories within our community. But we also need to really hone in on the pressure points that are continuously crippling the Black community. Again, not just locally, but abroad. And so what our platform is doing is creating content, visual content, audio content that is geared toward, forcing you guys, forcing people to think critically so that we can start shifting our perspectives, not just about the world, but about each other. There's so many silos within the Black community, so many different narratives that we're unaware of. And in order for us to really move forward collectively as a people, we need to kind of get to the bottom of our own stuff, right? So that's really what that platform is there to do. And so according to RP, we've been doing that since day one. And we're going to continue to do that with the help of Black Ivy Media. So you're going to hear me talk about it a lot on this platform because we really are trying to shine more light and bring more attention to the platform. We have a lot in store for the rest of 2021. So I definitely want you guys to follow us on Instagram, Black Ivy Media. Follow us on YouTube as well, where you could see some of our visual content. So yes, that is my shameless, not shameless plug. Speaking about shifting the narrative and changing perspectives, we have a very, very interesting show today. We are going to be talking about building wealth through the stock market. GameStop has brought a lot of you to the fold of the stock market, right? In the last couple of weeks, a lot of people have been interested in the stock market, interested in trading options because of the GameStop fiasco that took place. And so I have a professional that's going to be on this show by the name of Jamal Solomon. He is the CEO of Solomon Trade Experience, and he is going to talk to us about stocks. He's going to talk to us about trading options. He's going to talk about the difference between stocks and cryptocurrencies because there's a little bit of confusion going on out there. And the one thing you know about this platform, we try to keep it simple. We're not about the confusion. We want everybody to walk away with information, and we want them to be properly informed. So not just any type of information, but the correct information. And it also gives us an opportunity to highlight entrepreneurs within our community that are doing well and are giving back to the community. You know, for those of you who are entering into the trade world or who has been involved in stocks and whatnot, courses, just to have a basic understanding of stocks and options and investments, can be astronomical. And so here we have a young man from the community who is giving this information at a serious discount. I'm going to let him get into all of the particulars when he gets on the show, but I just want you guys to keep your minds open. We're talking about building wealth. We're talking about generational wealth. The 9-to-5 job is not going to get us there. We need to start thinking about multiple streams of income. And the stock market is definitely one of those vehicles to getting not just you yourself and your family, but the community to a different level. So I definitely want you guys to keep it locked as we get into this conversation with Jamal Solomon about stocks. But before we get into the meat of the show, you know, we got to do our preliminaries because we have not done them in the last week or two. It is now time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Happen when fleek is lit.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's word or phrase of the week is Alphabet Mafia. Now, again, I am just here to, you know, showcase what is already on UrbanDictionary.com. I am not the individual submitting these terms. You know, I have a problem with most of these definitions. But this week's word is Alphabet Mafia, a way cooler term for the LGBTQAI+ community. Example, me. I'm a part of the Alphabet Mafia. Now, I don't know if this is offensive. I don't know if this is what's currently popping in these streets. I feel like if I was part of the LGBTQAI+ community, I might feel some type of way about this terminology. However, it's getting longer and longer by the day. It used to be, you know, LGBT. Then it became LGBTQ. Now it's LGBTQAI. Now it's LGBTQAI+. You see where I'm going with this? I don't know how many more letters are going to be added. And I'm not trying to be offensive, nothing like that. I'm just trying to really understand, are people actually referring to this community as the alphabet mafia? Because whenever I think about mafia, mafioso, like there seems to be like jest in there, you know, there seems to be some sort of like, I don't know. It just sounds like you're being sarcastic, right? That's the tone that I'm getting. If somebody were to say, you know, they're a part of the alphabet mafia, I would see it almost like in a mocking sense, right? So I'm not from this community. So I am asking for those of you individuals who are part of the LGBTQAI plus community, are you okay with being referred to as being part of the alphabet mafia? And are you yourself referring to yourself as part of the alphabet mafia? Like, I don't want any problems. I don't want any smoke with this community. So I just really want to know, though, like, is this actually a term? Because the Urban Dictionary highlights what either is already being used in the streets and is accepted, or what people are wanting to introduce as terminology in the streets. So I don't know where we are with this word. Somebody please let me know. Slide up in the DMs at According to RP on Instagram. Send us an email at AccordingToRP@gmail.com. Inquiring minds really want to know. So now we are moving on to the Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week. So this week's Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week is... Well, I have two for you, actually, because I felt like these things kind of go together like peanut butter and jelly. The first one is mwen gran gou. Mwen gran gou means I'm hungry. These are essential terms, right? You can't be walking in the streets of Haiti or even, you know, certain sections of Flatbush and Canarsie and not know this term. Mwen gran gou. So mwen means I'm, gran gou means hungry. So now to say I'm thirsty is moi, I'm soif, thirsty. Moi soif. Moi soif. I'm thirsty. So the next time you're in Haiti or in certain parts of Flatbush, Brooklyn and Canarsie, Brooklyn, and you're hungry and thirsty and you stumble upon a Haitian restaurant because you might find somewhere the receptionist does not speak English, now you know how to say, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. You're welcome. So now moving on to one of my favorite sections of this show, it is now time for the big up of the week. Watch it. And you for big up, big up. All of the woman, them big up, big up. All of the girl, them big up, big up. This week's big up of the week goes to Tatiana Hyman. She is a law student at Fordham University School of Law. She is graduating in 2022, and she has recently been named the first ever Black editor-in-chief of the Fordham University School of Law Law Review. Now, for those of you who have no idea what Law Review is, this is the highest honor that you can receive, in a sense, in law school. Like, the Law Review is like the creme de la creme. If you made Law Review, if you're on that journal, you're definitely getting a high-paying job. It's very prestigious. But to be the editor-in-chief, like, that is something that is to be, like that is, I don't know, it's amazing. I don't even know. Whatever word is bigger than amazing, like, that's what it is. And Fordham University School of Law has never had a Black editor-in-chief of the Law Review, ever. So this is something that is definitely big up worthy. So congratulations, Tatiana Hyman, for this extraordinary achievement. You've definitely made the culture proud. And she's definitely made me proud as an alumnus of Fordham University School of Law. I mean, this is, it's just an amazing moment to see how far we've come. I've graduated law school now. I think it'll be like 10 years. I think it's been 10 years now. But to see how much, you know, we're moving, although, you know, it's sad that it still took this long for this to happen. But the fact that it happened is truly amazing. And shout out to the BALSA. I used to be BALSA president at Fordham Law. I have not done a good job of staying connected, but I do want to take this time to shout them out because they've been doing amazing work over the years. I've been following them, just haven't been the best at actually participating, but I will do better this year. But again, big up to you, Tatiana, for this amazing, extraordinary achievement. So now with every high, you all know that there is a low, and it's time for the womp womp of the week. So this week's womp womp of the week, it's hard to say that it's a womp womp because it's kind of a womp womp in the making. I'm not sure if it's really a womp womp, which is why I need the audience participation. This is the second time on this show that I think I'm asking you guys to give me feedback on something. So recently, Cornel West, the beloved Cornel West, is back in the news because he is threatening to leave Harvard University as a professor because they have once again disrespected him. This is apparently, I think, I don't know, offense number two from Harvard University. So the reason that he's threatening to leave is because he is being denied tenure. Right. He has been teaching in the Divinity Division and the African American Department for quite some time now. And for whatever reason, Harvard is like, I don't think so, Pimpin. We're not giving you tenure. And from what I've been reading, I've read certain articles from the Boston Globe. I've even turned to, you know, my brothers and sisters at the Griot just to kind of get an understanding of what is really going on with Cornel West. You know, what is happening here, right? So it seems as if Harvard thinks that he's a little too controversial. They think that he might be a little team too much. And many might agree. I mean, Cornel West is an activist in the Black community. I remember when I was at St. John's University as a freshman, Cornel West came to the school and I was really moved by him and his teachings, right? Now, some people kind of feel some type of way about Cornel West. They might think he might be a little bit of an Uncle Tom. I mean, this is not my words. This is what the people in the streets be saying. But I, at least at the time, thought that he was definitely a thought leader, right? And I thought that he was someone that was, in a sense, moving needles in the culture. Either way, the reason why the womp womp is up in the air is because many people are like, bruh, leave Harvard alone. Leave these white people alone. If they do not want to acknowledge you and give you tenure and give you the respect that you deserve as being an esteemed professor of this fine, prestigious university, then leave. There are many other institutions that would probably be more than happy to give you tenure. And since this is not the first time Harvard has disrespected you, it's the second time, you definitely need not continue to give your face to these people to slap, right? So many people are finding him to be really the womp womp, not even Harvard. It's like Harvard is going to do what they're going to do. They are known for this. This is what they're about. They are very, very strategic. They are very, very picky with who they give tenure to. Many would even say that they're not even really for Black people like that. So why, as a Black man, are you continuously begging the white man for this handout? Go to a Black institution, go to a Howard, go to a Hampton, go somewhere else that has no problem giving you the props that you deserve, right? Because he is a well-accomplished author. Again, a thought leader, You know, an esteemed professor. Like, this is not, you know, a Joe Schmo that's teaching at a community college that's look, you know what I mean? Like, this is Cornel West. And many feel like you are a womp womp, sir, that you are like, why is this even making the news? Like, why are you even coming out saying that, you know, you're threatening to leave, like you're giving ultimatums? These people clearly are not trying to give you tenure. They are not trying to do that. If they were, you would have had it before. You would have had it already. But the fact that you are continuously coming out saying they're not giving me tenure, they're not doing this, you might be a clown. Again, these are the streets, not me. My personal take is this. I can understand where Cornell is coming from, if I can call him Cornell by his first name. I can understand where he's coming from because he has given blood, sweat, and tears, right, to this fine institution. He has, and he's put in a lot of work, and it's still, at the end of the day, Harvard University. I don't care what anybody says. I understand that there's this whole like, well, go to HBCU, whatever. I mean, listen, it's regardless of what it is. In the future, Harvard might not have any standing. But as we speak today, Harvard University, the name of itself, saying I went to Harvard, I attended Harvard. You have people who took a seminar that's saying, that's putting on their resume, they took a seminar at Harvard. The name still holds a lot of weight. And so to be tenured at a university such as Harvard is still a big thing, and it still opens a lot of doors. Now, the question is, what type of doors is Cornel West trying to walk through? And are these doors that are moving the culture forward, that will be leading the culture forward? So is this whole thing about Harvard University School of Law, Harvard University, is this tenure track going to move the culture forward? Is this just a personal notch on your belt? Like, what is it? So there's a lot of layers to this, in my opinion. So I'm putting it out there. Do we think that Cornel West is a womp womp or should be the womp womp of this week? And if so, why do you believe so? Do you think that he is being a clown, expecting tenure from a university that does not want to give it to him? Do you think that he is drinking the white man's Kool-Aid, as one of my friends nicely or maybe not nicely put? Do you think that this is something that he should be fighting for? Like, so maybe he's not the womp womp because, listen, he's a professor. He put in the time and he deserves his, you know, recognition for all of his accomplishments and all of the contributions he's made to Harvard University. What are your thoughts on that? Think about it and send me a message through my DM, According to RP, on Instagram, or send me an email at accordingtorp@gmail.com. Well, folks, we are now on to the meat of the show. Everyone, I'm here with my very special guest, Jamal Solomon. Jamal, please say hello.
Hey, everybody, what's going on?
Thank you so much, Jamal, for being with us today on the According to RP show.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So, Jamal, please tell us a little about who you are and where you are from and what you do.
All right, guys. So I'm not going to, you know, bore you with my life story, but my name is Jamal Solomon. I recently had a birthday. I'm 28.
Ooh, happy birthday.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I am originally from Newark, New Jersey, born and raised, and I am a full-time options trader.
Okay. So trading stocks, like, that seems to be the topic of, I don't even know, the month. Ever since GameStop, I feel like everybody's been talking about trading and stocks and whatnot. So, Jamal, how long have you been investing in stocks and option trading?
Oh, man, what year is it? 2021? I think I'm coming on my fifth year now.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And I've been teaching for about maybe 2.5, 3 of them.
Okay, cool. So outside of you investing and trading, you teach as well?
Yes.
Okay. And so you're teaching people how to trade, or are you teaching something else?
I'm teaching people how to trade options. Yes.
Okay, cool. So then just want to break it down a little bit, because there are a lot of people who, although they heard about the GameStop fiasco, they might have heard about stocks, but I would like to say that the majority of people really don't understand what stocks are, and even more so what trading options is. So could you just explain first, like, what is a stock, and then kind of go through that a little bit, and then do the same for what is an option?
Fantastic. Yeah, definitely. All right, guys. So the short version is, I want you to imagine a stock like a piece of a pie, right? So you own a small portion of the company and you actually purchase that stock. Right? That's all it really is. It's just a small portion of a much bigger pie, right? Now, when you're trading options, imagine like a lease almost, right? So option contracts control the value of 100 shares. So let's compare the two, right? We have one stock, let's say company A, it costs $100. So you invest $100 to purchase that small piece of the pie or that stock, right? It moves a dollar, you made a dollar, congratulations, right? On the other hand, with an option controlling the value of 100 shares for a certain period of time. In the time that that stock moves a dollar, you're going to make $100. All right. So that's the key difference between stock and options.
Now, which one's riskier?
It really depends on you and your strategy, right? That's a big variable question. If you're going for long-term and dividend payouts, I'm going to say stocks all the way, right? But if you want to make more money faster, or you're okay with waiting, it just really depends. I think I like options better because it's more of a controlled risk situation. A stock, you can purchase a stock and hold on to it for a year, and it can go down in 6 months. Now you got to wait 2 years for it to go back up, right? Where option, yeah, it might go down, but you only risk what you put in. So if you only risk $1,000, guess what? That's all you can lose.
I see. Okay. So I want to get back to a more in-depth conversation on the stocks and options in terms of who can participate, who can invest, who can trade, things like that. But another, term that has been floating around has been crypto, right? I think everybody has heard of Bitcoin at some point, right? But now we're starting to hear more people talking about Bitcoin and crypto and some of these others like Ethereum. That's been another one that a lot of people have been talking about. But again, still no real understanding of what cryptocurrencies are. And I find that a lot of times people interchange stock and crypto. So could you just tell us just briefly, like, what is cryptocurrency? And is it the same as a stock?
Absolutely not. There's some similarities there, but there are some key differences also. So a stock is a company, it's part of a company, where cryptocurrency is like a pool, right? Just a pool of cryptocurrency. The thing about cryptocurrency is it isn't tangible. Like, you can't touch it. You can't physically have it. So to me, it's a little risky. It's a little strange, but you know, that's the way the world is moving towards. I would say that for anybody out there, if you want to know something, you need to learn about it, right? You don't need to just go out there just because you heard or you think or whatever the case may be. You need to really do your research about it. I'll put it to you like this. The stock market is one big umbrella, cryptocurrency falling under that umbrella, right? Mm-hmm. You have stocks, you have options, you have Forex, and you have cryptocurrency. Those are the main four platforms that a lot of people talk about. Every platform needs a different set of tools, right? Cryptocurrency, for example, you need to understand support and resistance. You need to understand market cap. You need to understand what the function of that coin is, right? With stocks, you have to do research on what the company is doing. Are they growing? What are their earning reports look like? There's research that comes along with this. So you can't just jump in there just because you heard you seen everybody making all this money and you missed out and just think, you know, I'm just going to hit. It's not a casino. It's a strategy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I wanted to definitely clear that up, because in the last couple of weeks, I've heard a lot of people talk about or not really just talk about, but really just, you know, interchange stock and crypto. And I know that, you know, this is just going a little more sophisticated, but there are certain stocks that mine crypto, but people are thinking that these particular stocks are crypto. So I just wanted to highlight the fact that there is a difference between cryptocurrencies and stocks. They're not the same, although they, you know, they one can probably function with another. You'll find certain stocks that mine crypto and there is a relationship, but they're not the same thing.
Exactly.
Okay. So going back to just the stock market, right? Now, a lot of people say, hey, you know, this sounds like it can be cool. I do want to get my investments in order. I want to get a financial portfolio. I want to retire before I'm 40. I want to learn about investments. I want to start purchasing stocks, but I don't have any money or I don't have a lot of money. Do you have to have a lot of money, quote unquote, or a certain amount of money in order to get into the world of stock investments?
And I'm glad you asked that, right? Now, it's funny that you mentioned that because people think you need a whole lot of money, right? Honestly, when it comes down to stock, you do need a decent amount of money to get a decent return, 100%, right? However, right? I've seen it where you're not starting off with a lot of money, you're making a lot of money. I can give you three different situations, right? One of my students took $230 and turned it into $5,000 in 2 months from options trading, right? Because options trading is designed for everyone. If you can buy Jordans, you can options trade, right? That's just bottom line. Mm. I've seen another one of my students right now. This particular student, they took my course and they decided that they wanted to invest long-term in stocks. They took $1,200, right? This is probably my most profitable student. $1,200, and now their account is about
$21,000. Wow.
Right? So to answer the question, you do not need a whole lot of money. Like anything else in this world, the more the better, but you don't need a whole lot.
Okay. Now, there are a lot of platforms such as Robinhood, Stash App, that say, you know, you can invest with $5, right? And then you can set and forget. So $5 a week coming out of your checking account going straight to a particular stock. What are your thoughts on these quote unquote beginner apps?
My honest opinion, I don't agree with them, right? A human error is we tend to depend on people to do things that we can do ourselves, right? Stash is an example of that. Acorn is an example of that. Think about it like this. You have a savings account and you're getting what, 0.2% or annual return, right? Mm-hmm. How do you think they're giving you that money? They're giving it to you because they're taking your money, they're putting it in the stock market, they're getting nice returns, and they're giving you peanuts. That's what's happening, mm-hmm. right? So it's the same thing with Stash and with Acorn. They're getting nice returns from your money and they're giving you peanuts. Why do that? You could just invest in yourself, take a course, learn how to do it yourself, and be in control of your profits.
Understandable. Yeah, I really wanted to get to that point because I guess the idea for some people is like, at least I'm starting, right? But like you said, you know, the more you invest, the more return you will see. And I think that a lot of people get frustrated when it comes to stock investments, when it comes to these particular apps, because they're like, I put $5 in. You know, I put $100 in. How come I'm not seeing anything? What's going on here? This is a scam. But I do like that, you know, how you put that in. You know, there's, you know, I think with everything there are limits, right? But I definitely wanted to kind of touch on that because there are people who are capable of getting a brokerage account. And then I'll ask you to maybe get into a little bit about brokerage accounts if you don't mind, because that's another thing that people are throwing out again too. Oh yeah, get a brokerage account. But people are like, well, what exactly is that? And where do I get that? So just to, you know, highlight that, yes, there are these free apps out there that everybody is talking about. However, you know, if we're really wanting to take our, you know, investment seriously, there might be some other platforms that may be better suited for us if we are taking investments seriously, right? So could you talk about some of these brokerage accounts and I guess maybe a step back, what is a brokerage account? And then maybe talk about some of the ones that we might have, you know, we might hear about every day.
Okay, sure. So think about when you go to church, right? And your pastor or priest is saying he's your connection to God, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine a broker account the same thing. He's your connection or they're your connection to the stock market. So you're using their platform to purchase or trade back and forth or invest or whatever or what have you, right? So that's all it is. Some of the more popular ones that everybody likes is like Robinhood. Personally, I don't like Robinhood, but everybody likes it because they think that, you know, instead of paying someone to teach them how to trade, they think Robinhood is going to just show them. And it's not just that simple. Yeah, they might tell you what a call and a put is, or how to purchase, or how to sell, or whatever the case may be, but you don't know what you're doing. So why are you doing it? It's just like this, right? A lot of people, a lot of new traders, I find they have this issue. They purchase something, right? Because it's going up. Maybe the next day they're making money, whatever. A couple of days later, they're losing a lot of money. And they're like, why? And then they sell. And then a couple of days later, it's going up. It's because you don't know what you're doing. Mm. You think going on Robinhood is just going to turn you into somebody that just automatically knows how to trade. It doesn't work that way.
That makes sense. Which brokerages would you recommend to somebody who's like, you know, I want to take this investment thing seriously. You know, I'm going to invest in myself. I'm going to get a coach, but I want to, you know, take initiative and, you know, at least, you know, put in the application for a brokerage account. Which ones would you, and again, I know you're not endorsing any of them, but which ones based on what you've seen in your teachings, would you recommend?
Personally, my personal favorite is a TD Ameritrade Thinkorswim. I've been using them for a while and they have not disappointed me yet. A lot of my students like Webull. That's another good one. Merrill Lynch is good. E-Trade is also good. Those are just some of the popular ones.
Okay, cool.
But again, though, I just want to swing back again. Yeah, you can get a broker account. But again, to me, it's like, why? Let's get to the meat and potatoes, right? Mm-hmm. The bottom line is, if you want to learn how to invest, take a course. Now, I know I'm here to promote my course and, you know, say all these great things about myself, but I'm just going to be real. Even if I'm not your teacher, learn this because it will change your life. 100%.
That I agree with. And I think that, you know, as we are a platform that caters to the Black community, I find that we struggle with spending money 100%. On investing in ourselves. You mentioned buying Jordans earlier. If you can buy Jordans, then you can invest, which is big facts, right? You can definitely invest with the amount of money you'll spend on Jordans. But I find that we have no problem spending the money on, you know, the Louis bag, and even if we're not talking about the material things, but we don't have a problem really wasting money, spending money. But when it comes to paying a professional, investing in ourselves so that we can do better and be better, this is too expensive. Oh, this is too much. And we don't do it. And then I guess we do things like get on these apps and lose money, right? Because we don't know what we're doing.
Right, exactly. And, you know, honestly, I kind of blame our community a little bit because, you know, a lot of people are out here scamming and, you know, we just have a bad stigma attached to us as people amongst ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, and that's a terrible thing to have, but that's just the reality. But the only way we're going to get better is if we take a chance on each other. I'm big on, you know, keeping the money inside, right? So if you have something, even if you want to give it to me for a discount or for free because I'm your brother, right? Nah, I'm going to pay you because you need to understand, one, your worth, and that's how we keep the money in our community. You should never sell yourself short, especially as a Black man or a woman.
I totally agree with you there. So I want to get into your program, right? Because you teach individuals how to trade options, right? So yes. How do you go about doing that? Like, explain to me what the breakdown of your course is so that those who are listening who are like, man, you know what? I've been talking about getting into this stock option business. I want to do it. I want to find a teacher, but I don't know how, you know, is it going to take too much time? You know, I'm a full-time worker. I'm a full-time student. Like, how much is it going to cost me? So just take us through your program. You know, how it goes, what the cost is, what the time commitment is, things of that nature.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. So first thing I want to talk about is, you know, let's talk about a doctor, right, in med school. When a doctor first goes to med school, he doesn't just come in the door and learn how to do heart surgery, right? First, he has to learn vocabulary. I cannot express that enough. Vocabulary is extremely important because you have to understand the language and the jargon of the market, right? Again, back to the doctor, they first learn the vocabulary, then they learn about the tools, then they learn how to use the tools, then they practice heart surgery. My course is designed the same way, right? So my course is 4 weeks, all right? It's one class a week for about an hour, just depending on, you know, the individual learning style, questions, etc. One class a week for 4 weeks. The total cost is only $400. And I work with you. For the most part, I have a pretty set schedule, especially if I'm super booked. But if I have some wiggle room availability, I'll work with you. It's really not hard. The biggest thing I recommend to anybody is finding somebody that you can relate to. Not somebody that's just going to talk to you as if like, okay, I'm a teacher, you're a student. I'm just going to talk down on you because I already know. No, find somebody that's going to really work with you one-on-one and really be invested in your success. And you can't go wrong from there.
Okay. Now, the second question I have with respect to this is levels, right? So what if somebody is like, listen, I kind of already know the lingo. I've kind of already been trading for maybe a couple of months now. I realize that there is some errors in my game. I want to learn some technical analysis. I want to learn how to read charts just so that I can be better at identifying, you know, trends and whatnot, so that I can sharpen my options trading. Do you have a specific course for that, or is that more of a one-on-one? Do you offer one-on-ones?
Yeah, definitely. And those are those special cases where, you know, sometimes it might cost more, sometimes it might cost less, because now I have to specifically make a course just for you. So I first start off by like interviewing them, right? So mm-hmm. I say, okay, do you know what this is? Do you know what that is? What do you need help with? What target areas can I assist with? And then I take it from there. And that's how I bill it, based off of that. Sometimes it's just one course. I'm not going to charge you full price with one course. I'm not here to hit you over the head. I'm genuinely here to teach you and invest in your success, right? Mm-hmm. But if you think you know what you're talking about and you don't, you have a whole bunch of other stuff that is not relevant, then I have to break everything down and kind of reset you one-on-one course. And I can go, like, again, I'm not here to hit anybody over the head. It might be like 500, like an extra $100, just because I have to dedicate that individual time to you.
Okay. Now, during the 4 week training or 4+ week training, depending again on, you know, where your level's at, are you giving out signals? Are you giving, you know, as part of the program, or is it just strictly, you know, fundamentals?
I'm not giving out signals during the program. What I'm actually doing is teaching you how to find your own. So actually at the end of this month, I'm launching a group chat that everybody's going to be able to sign up for, because we all can't be everywhere at once. And community is a big thing here. So I might see something, or you might see something, and I might think it's a good trade. But I think it's a good trade based off the knowledge that I gained from the course. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's not one of those situations where I'm going to tell you, here, take your money, put it here. No, I'm going to say, this is a good trade. I think it's a good trade. Do you agree? You look at the signals, look at the indicators, the fundamentals, technical analysis, everything, and you also agree. It's going to be up to you to decide if you want to take that trade or not.
Okay, so you're teaching people how to fish as opposed to providing them the meal.
Exactly. I love that saying. I actually use it all the time. I'm going to teach you how to fish. I'm not gonna give you a fishing feature for a day. I'm going to teach you how to fish. I'm all about independence. As every week goes on in my course, the training wheels come off more and more and more. The first course, I'm holding your hand 100%. By the end of the course, I'm not holding your hand. You're your own person. Now, don't get me wrong. Once you finish my course, I don't just throw you to the wolves, right? As a matter of fact, I don't even expect you to put your money directly in the market. I set you up with a broker account on the fourth course, and I show you how to paper trade. So if you use TD Ameritrade, they give you about $200,000 to start with. And I say, listen, if you're going to start your account with $2,500, you're not going to take a trade that's more than $2,500, because the returns that you're going to see off of $2,500 are going to be realistic, right, for yourself. You take a trade for $10,000 and you make $15,000. Do you really have $10,000 to invest? You know what I mean?
I see. So if you could explain paper trading, because I get what you're saying. And some people might be like, yeah, I think I understand what that means. But just for those who are listening, who are like $200,000+, like TD America is giving you that?
Definitely. Paper trading is fake money, right? So you're going to be practicing with fake money. I highly recommend it. I had a student that I taught her maybe last year. Now, keep in mind, right? I taught this young lady last year, probably in the summer. When I met her, she was working 3 jobs. She funded her account a couple months ago. Do you know this young lady does not work for anybody anymore?
Mercy. That's a testimony right there.
Now, I'm not here to sell a pipe dream. I'm not here to sell a pipe dream. That's just her story. She just did really good. She took it really seriously, and she just doesn't work for anybody anymore. But, hey, I'm just here.
I mean, listen, I think we can all say that there is something to the stock market, right? Whether, you know, some people think it's gambling, some people are like, yeah, I don't know about this. But I think that most people can say that there is something to the stock market, but it is the level of effort, I think, that one is really willing to put into that, right? Like, some people think that it's just so easy. Like, there's a lot to really understand when it comes to not just purchasing stocks, but especially if you're going to be trading options and whatnot. Like, there's a lot that goes on with it. It's really involved. But with anything in this life, right, if you put work and effort toward it, you're going to see results.
But believe it or not, it's not a lot of effort. It's not a lot of work. Like, honestly, it is probably, like, a lot of people have this idea, this notion, like, oh, I can't because I work, or I have to sit in front of the computer all day and have to. You don't. I teach. I have a life. I have a daughter. I have a lady, right? I have a life. I can't sit in front of a computer all day. My eyes are bad enough. I wear glasses. I'm not doing it. So while I'm teaching in the day, I'll pull out my phone. I'll check my investments and I'll decide if I want to secure profit or wait. I put my phone back in my pocket.
Do you day trade?
That's it. That's all I do all day.
Do you day trade or do you swing trade?
I swing trade. So, and that's another thing that we should probably clear up for the people, right? Mm-hmm. Day trading is a term, okay? It isn't like, that's all it is. It's a term, right? So if you take a trade today and you get out of it today, that's day trading, all right? Mm-hmm. You cannot day trade unless you have $25,000 in your account. You can do maybe two or three for the week, but they won't let you be a consistent day trader. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to hold it for at least a day or two, all right? So I just want to clear that up for the people.
So when we hear about these individuals who this is all they're doing for the day, like there are individuals who are like, I quit my job so I can, you know, trade full time, right? And, you know, I had to learn all the technical analysis to be able to read the, you know, the candlesticks and all of these other charts. I think when people hear that level of, I would say, commitment to the cause, that kind of, you know, scares people a little bit as to, whoa, this sounds like a lot, because now I have to learn how to read charts. Like, now I have to, you know, what's this analysis business? I didn't go to school for this stuff, you know? So what exactly are people, when people say they're quitting their job so they could trade full time, you know, and they had to, you know, get super technical so that they could be able to do it properly. Like, what's all that about? Because I think that's what's scaring most people.
It just depends on the individual. It just depends on how you vision your life. Like, that's what it really comes down to. I'm pretty lazy, honestly. And, you know, I don't like to do too much of anything, but I like nice things at the same time. So what is going to allow me to be lazy, right, and afford nice things? Trading. I don't have to do too much of anything. Mm-hmm. So, but if you want to be that person who wants to sit in front of a computer and, you know, look at all this research and do et cetera, then that's on you. That's the kind of person you're trying to be. So it just depends. Everybody's different.
Mm-hmm. So you can be, you don't have to be as thorough as the name. Because I think I was taking a seminar earlier today that talked about, like, you know, a great trader, a dope trader, and a legendary trader. And, like, the great trader was the person who, like, kind of had an understanding of the markets and whatnot. The dope trader was the person who understood technical analysis and actually, you know, knew how to research companies' financials and the CEO and whatnot. And the legendary trader was the person who understood, like, all the charts and understood, you know, financial psychology and all this other stuff. So just trying to put things in perspective, that for those people who are listening who are like, whoa, I ain't got time for all that, that you can do pretty well, I would say, as a trader without being super, super technical in all of the things that I mentioned.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. You can find a company, we call diamonds in the rough, right? You can find a company. Let's take an example. The world is moving towards electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. Right? California passed something that said in 2030, all their cars are going to be electrical. Mm. What that means is they're not going to take every car off the road and turn it electric. They're just not. They can't do that. That's going to be a manufacturer's law. So every company that's in Cali that has to make a car has to be electric vehicles. So what does that mean for the trader? what companies are making electric vehicles? Tesla and NIO. Mm-hmm. So obviously they're going to go crazy high. But what else? What? How else does that connect?
Batteries.
Electric companies, electric cars are going to need batteries, charging stations, all sorts of things. It's going to go from no longer needing jumper cables to the people that have like the portable batteries to charge. Well, what companies are working on that technology? Mm-hmm. They're probably cheap now. Invest in them now. You know, you don't have to sit there and be like, okay, I want to quit my job. I want to trade full time. You don't have to be that person if that's not what you want, but you want to make money, right? So instead of saving 2 or 3 years for a down payment on a house, you can just take that same money you have in your savings account, invest it in some shares, hold it for long term, and then your down payment in 6 months.
I like that because I think that a lot of people, and I would say that I used to be that person, would hold, you know, money in their savings accounts, right? Years upon years upon years holding money in a savings account, and the money wasn't doing anything but going up maybe 1%, 2%. I don't know if that. Because I think that in our culture, at least at one point, things like the stock market, like high risk, you know, things that are associated with gambling was just unsafe, right? And it's like for us, for you to be responsible, a responsible person keeps their money in their savings account, you know, their money in their savings account. They keep their money in the bank account. They don't put them in the stock market. They don't gamble it away, right? And I think that a lot of us are still stuck on that mentality, and we're slowly but surely moving away from that. But I think that a lot of us are still, you know, we have this risk averse thing going on when it comes to our savings, when it comes to our money, and we're a little reluctant to say that, okay, we're going to put our savings in, I mean, not all of it, but we're going to put a portion of our savings in the stock market, and we're going to, you know, let it grow to get our down payment.
All right. Now, so let's talk about that, right? So would you rather have $100,000 in your bank account or $100,000 in assets?
I would prefer to have it in assets.
Assets, right? Now, the average person, right, would rather have $100. Now, the smart answer, the obvious answer is the assets. If you understand what an asset is, then that's the smart answer. That's the right answer. But most people would say $100,000 in cash. Well, you have $100,000 in cash and it's doing what? Nothing. Mm-hmm. What's the point? Why? Okay, if you say I need $20,000, why do you need $20,000? What are you going to do with it? You got the $20,000 now, what are you going to do with it? So that's why you take a course. Are you invested? Are you put it somewhere that's actually going to make you money? $100,000 in assets is a lot more valuable than $100,000 in cash. Those assets are most likely paying you residual income on a monthly or annual or whatever the case may be. But long term, that's going to pay out more than just having cash sitting in your bank account.
Mm-hmm. So now, a lot of people have asked me, you know, hey, I want to start teaching my children to invest. Like, this is something that I didn't learn until I was in my 20s, 30s, 40s. I want my children to start now. You know, I'm watching all these kids on YouTube talking about their stock portfolios. I want my kid, you know, to invest in stocks. Are there apps or are there, I mean, can children invest in stocks?
Yeah, I think you have to be, I can't remember the age. I want to say it's like 14, maybe even younger than that. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I was reading a little article the other day where a mom gifted her son 10 GameStop shares.
Yes.
Did you see that one?
Yeah.
So, and it was like $2,800, probably a little bit more after the fact. But he was really, really young. He had to be no older than like 8 years old or nine, mm-hmm. or something like that. So you can have ownership. I believe you can have ownership at any given day. Or any given age, I'm sorry.
Okay. So now I wanted to, since we mentioned GameStop, I think GameStop is what has brought a lot more eyes to the stock market in terms of just people from our community. So if you could just briefly explain, what was this whole GameStop hype? Like, what happened?
All right, so I'm going to try to break it down in layman's terms so that everybody can understand, mm-hmm. right? So I have to give you a little bit of vocabulary, right? So in stocks, you're going to hear the terms long and short, all right? So long basically represents an increase in value, and short represents a decrease in value. So you can make money on the market going up or down. Up will be long, short will be down. So GameStop was doing terribly. So a lot of these, they're called hedge funds, mm-hmm. had large positions shorting the stock. So again, they're predicting that it's going to go down. So what happened was, it's something called a short squeeze. So a lot of retail traders, that's people like, you know, me, you, and Tom, Dick, and Harry, right? Everybody placed calls, which forced them, the hedge funds, to have to buy out those calls. Mm. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to exercise the options?
Yeah, no, not exercise the option, but the option contract controlling the value of 100 shares.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys having shorts. So it forced them out of their position. So then they had, it's like a lot of, imagine a lot of money just coming back into GameStop. Mm-hmm. People just having to purchase. So that's what made the stock go up all crazy like that. You're talking billions of dollars going from one end to the other.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a call option, which is a prediction of an increase in value. You're going to make crazy money. If you have shares, you're holding on to shares and they're $10 and they go up to $100, you're going to make crazy money. And that's mm-hmm. what happened.
Yeah, because that GameStop, because it was GameStop, it was AMC, it was BB, it was Nokia. A lot of these, I guess what they call the Reddit stocks, and Reddit being that what is the thread, that Reddit.com or whatever thread, there's like certain channels in there. And so the Wall Street Bets is a particular group of traders, investors. Apparently, like that whole week, like there was just a lot of drama. Robinhood was shutting, was preventing people from purchasing certain stocks, and it was a whole big fiasco. But in that fiasco, a lot of people became interested because they were hearing about, you know, the Tom, Dick, and Harry who happened to have who had purchased GameStop shares at $3. Now the share being worth like $500, people were making like thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars in like a matter of like, I don't know.
Millions.
Exactly. In a matter of, I don't know, hours, days or whatever. This really piqued the interest of everyday people who were like, whoa, maybe I need to take a look at this stock thing. But I think that a lot of people still didn't really understand. Till this day, people are asking, what was going on with GameStop? What happened with GameStop? So I just wanted to kind of touch on that a little bit, because that seemed to be where sparked the interest in a lot of people.
And honestly, I'm glad, not only because it's good for business, but because this is what you people need to see. Like, you know, let me use myself as an example. I took two courses and I paid almost $2,000 for my course, for both of them. And I realized something, that my people need this. So I hopped the fence, I got the secret, and I brought it back to my people. Right? You have to. It's no excuse. And even if you don't want to invest, do real estate, start a business, do something, because it's a lot of money out here and you're just idly by working for somebody else, making their dream come true. What about yourself? What about your dreams? What about your goals? And what are you doing to accomplish that?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was kind of one of the last questions I wanted to really touch on, is why is it important for Black people to get involved in the stock market? Why is it important for us to invest in these stocks, you know, trade options? And even, you know, although I'm not really big on the cryptocurrency, I do own some Ethereum, but even with the cryptocurrency world, as we see that it's going to be the future, we have, you know, large companies. I think Tesla bought like $1 billion worth of Bitcoin. We have a lot of major corporations now purchasing Bitcoin. So, you know, now that we're seeing these large corporations purchasing large amounts of Bitcoin, like what seemed to have been a scam maybe several years ago in the minds of people, like now we are, you know, you're even able to start purchasing things with your cryptocurrency. Platforms like Square, PayPal, like there's a lot going on, you know, on the market-wise with cryptocurrency and everyday stocks. But, you know, with that being said, like the world is clearly moving in a particular direction. We clearly see, I mean, if GameStop didn't teach you anything, it did teach you that there's money in the streets and regular people can have a bite of the apple. So with all that being said, and I'm probably answering my own question, but knowing the culture, right, knowing who we are as a people, why is it imperative, I would say, why do you think it's imperative for us to be involved in the stock market, and you know, what is the first, like, what would be the first step that you would, you know, you would say somebody's like, yo, I want to get in this today. Like, what's the first step?
The first step I would say is do your research. Do your research, find a course that's affordable to you. And again, like I said, find a teacher that's relatable. You have some courses out there where it's just videos, right? I personally don't like videos. I fall asleep. I need that one-on-one interaction. Mm-hmm. So that's the first step. The second step is to just do it. You know, just do it. Like, it's nothing wrong with investing in yourself. You can take a real estate course and say, you know what? This is not what I want to do. Okay, guess what? On to the next course. Okay, now I want to trade options. Hey, you know what? I like this. Let me give it a shot. You know, you just have to try it. Because if not, majority of people wake up every day and are just mad and sad. I hate going to this job. I hate these people. I don't like my life. But what are you doing about it? Nothing, right? Another thing that's important to me is that, you know, who's your hero? Who do you look up to? Who inspires you to be great? And a lot of the time, growing up anyways, and I'm not, you know, trying to sound racist or anything, but, you know, it's white people. You know, these are the people that have all this money that are doing so well. They're politicians, they're CEOs. Okay, so where are the black CEOs? Where are the black superheroes, right? There isn't too many. You know, you might have the Malcolm X's and the Dr. Martin Luther King, but that was years ago. You can be that next person. You just have to do it.
Okay. And I totally agree with you there. I think that, I mean, they're saying that like 2021, like this is the year, right? Like this is the year that we as a community, that we as a people need to really like figure out how to move forward, because there's so much at our disposal. And I think that, again, you know, the GameStop hype and all that came around it really inspired a lot of people, particularly black people, to start saying, hey, what is this stock market business? Like today I was on a 1-hour Zoom seminar that a friend sent me on like financial literacy and stock market and options and whatnot. And there was like 400 black people on this Zoom. So it's definitely something that has piqued our interest. And I'm really excited, you know, for the many journeys that are going to be started, hopefully after listening to this show. but I'm really excited for what's to come. I think definitely. Within our community, you know, there's a call for more black banks. And I think that this is definitely how we get there, right? This is how we get that wealth. This is how we start, you know, we get the capital to start these banks and to start these initiatives that we want to start in our community so that we can move the needle forward.
Exactly. 100%. And, you know, another thing is too, you know, I want anybody listening to this to reflect on themselves, especially, you know, during this COVID time. You know, if before a couple of years ago, I guarantee your excuse was for not living out your dreams was, I don't have the time. Well, guess what? Nobody has the time for anything, right? Especially when they're working with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
During COVID, if you were unemployed and you were getting unemployment and stimulus checks, that was the perfect opportunity. If you would invest in yourself, start your business, do whatever you wanted to do. Because a lot of people were getting money and a lot of people just wanted to spend.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have something, it's going to sell. Don't be scared. Just do it.
Yeah. Who was I listening to? Uncle Larry? I don't know. Larry Jones. He's on YouTube. And he talked about how he invested his stimulus check, the $1,200 stimulus check, into the stock market. I think he found maybe a couple of penny stocks and he grew the $1,200 into $4,500, and then he turned the $4,500 into $25,000. And that was all off the, you know, the $1,200 stimulus check that a lot of people use to go either buy Jordans or something that was non-essential. Yeah. So it can be done.
100%, you know,
we're supposed to be getting another round of stimulus money, so maybe you might want to put that to the side and invest in some stocks.
I'm telling you, it'd be the best thing you ever did, you know, and just forget about it. You didn't have the money before, you know what I mean? I tell people like this too, and I'm gonna drop a free gem for anybody, right? I'm not gonna say specifically that this is the company, don't go do this, do your research, obviously. Let's take a company like Verizon, right? It's about $50 a share. Verizon has dividends. So let's say Verizon's dividends are about 50 cents per share. If you're getting about $5,000 on a tax return, you can take that $5,000 and buy 100 shares. So they're giving you a dividend check of 50 cents per share every 3 months. So every 3 months, you take that dividend check, you reinvest it. That's a free share. Mm-hmm. You're already putting money to the side for savings. Let's say it's like $50 or $100, whatever the number is. Instead of putting it in a bank account, just buy more shares. So it's going to go eventually from you getting a $50 check to buy another share to it being a $100 check and a $200 check. And it's going to keep growing, and your shares are going to keep growing. We're just talking about it staying at 50. So you get 1,000 shares, that's $50,000. If that moves to 100 per share, well, now you just turned that you know, consistent investing into $100,000 without doing anything. And you're still getting dividend checks.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So that's, you can build long-term wealth that way. You know, it's so many different things you can do to build wealth. You just have to do it, because saving money is just, you're never going to get there.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of us are starting to realize that, you know, some of us have been saving money for years and we still aren't where we want to be. We still don't have that 6 month emergency fund. We don't have that, you know, real estate fund that we've been talking about. Because it takes a lot. It takes a lot to save, you know, that kind of money. So I definitely agree with you there. Now, Jamal, I want you to take this time to shout out, you know, your Instagram handles, Facebook handles. If you have a website, where can we find you to, you know, purchase your courses? And if there's other, I don't know, ebooks or whatever you have available, let us know where they are now.
Definitely. So my personal IG handle is YBA_selfmade. You can follow me on that. My Instagram handle is @SolomonTradeEXP. On both pages, I have the link for my website on there. I'm on Facebook at Solomon Trade Experience. Give it a follow and just reach out. You know, I'm a pretty friendly guy. I'll answer any questions that you have. And remember, I'm invested in you, especially if you're a minority. And I'm not saying minority like you have to be Black or Hispanic. I mean, minority like if you make under $50,000 a year, we all in the same tax bracket. We all the same. So get with me. And I got you.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jamal, for taking this time to explain something that's really important. I feel like we don't really talk enough about, we don't talk about money enough, you know, in our community. Well, the right kind of money making, because we talk about flossing and, you know, making it rain, the club and all this other stuff. But when it comes to financial literacy and really helping our people learn, you know, to have a good relationship with money and to teach them how to make money work for them as opposed to them working for money, there's not many of those conversations. But I also wanted to commend you for even, you know, doing this, right? Because you could just be trading on your own and making your own money and being just concerned about your family and your well-being. But instead, you're taking the time to put together a course to teach people at a very affordable price, because I've seen some of these other, you know, costs out there for this stuff, how to you know, get to the next level and how to really improve their lives. So I really thank you for even, you know, doing this and just making yourself available to everyday people.
Definitely. That's what I'm here for. I'm all for the people.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much for joining the show. And everyone, thank you so much for tuning into another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And with that being said, I'll talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all on.